Bethany, and you're listening to Better Half Chats, a dialogue between a seminary graduate, Andrew, and his very candid wife, that's me. Today we'll be talking about the wisdom sayings in Proverbs. Proverbs 25. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 20:24 says, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way?
Okay, so we have been so far this season talking about wisdom, and actually that's the theme of the season. I'm not really sure why I said so far, because we're going to keep talking about wisdom. But we've been mostly in Proverbs, except we spent one week in the book of Ruth, because it was sort of related to Proverbs 31. But so we've talked about Proverbs 1. We've talked about Proverbs 31. And so we sort of bookended Proverbs a little bit to see how wisdom is described at the beginning and end of that book. And now, this week, I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about the middle of Proverbs, the meat of the book. And the middle of Proverbs, in between about Proverbs 9, 10, until, close to the end, it's mostly just these short little, almost like bullet point sayings, right? So it's very like rapid fire, like it's this and then this and then this. And this is, a lot of them are very interesting. A lot of them are kind of pithy. A lot of them are kind of sarcastic sounding.
I don't know what pithy means.
Pithy. Let me look up pithy. It's one of those words that I like kind of know what it means, but not really.
Oh, I caught you using it.
Concise and forcefully expressive.
Okay. I'm going to start calling you out more now and see if you really know the words that you're using.
It's like, well, yeah. Sometimes I use words and I kind of think they...
Tried them on for size.
Well, I kind of think I know what they mean. Or like I know a good context to use them, but I kind of like don't really know the meaning. And yeah, that meaning is a little bit different than what I thought it would be.
Oh, well, we learned something.
Concise and forcefully expressive. Well, that's a really good word to use to describe the Proverbs, actually. But anyway, I digress. So what I want to do this week is talk about just a few various Proverbs that are in the middle, and not only explore what they mean, but try to understand what do we learn about wisdom by reading them. Is that cool?
Yeah, sounds good. If it's not obvious at this point, Andrew makes a list of the verses that we're going to discuss, because I'm totally overwhelmed by the Bible, like some of you may be, and I don't know where to start, and I always try to start at the beginning, and then I just get really bogged down in all the action of the Old Testament and all of the anti-action, just like the name list and all this stuff. I just get really bogged down in all of it, and so this whole podcast has been a way for us to discuss the Bible together without me zoning out or getting angry and stomping off, and it's been fun. So I have been studying Proverbs. It's been great. I would have never really studied it so much. So we kind of divided it up into some, after reading the Proverbs, we kind of heard some themes that were going on. And so we kind of are going to talk about four different themes today, and kind of the Proverbs that we read, that a few of them that go with each theme, and kind of what's the main message from that theme. So should I start it off?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so one of the themes that we noticed in Proverbs was the theme of discussing wealth and poverty. So I'll start by reading Proverbs 10:15. A rich man's wealth is a strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. 11:4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. And 14:20-21 says, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Do you want to start by trying to piece these together?
Yeah, that'd be great. I think 10:15 and 11:4 is an interesting starting point. Those first two that you read just now, because they seem to be a little bit contrasting in what they're saying. I think that this is a theme in Proverbs, is you see a lot of contrasting proverbs, two proverbs that seem to say opposite things. So I guess throughout our conversation for this podcast, I would really like to try to hash that out. Like, what do we learn about wisdom from that? How can it be that two opposite things could be, you know, a wise, could be part of wisdom, mm-hmm. right? But anyway, you see the contrast here, because it says in 10:15 that a rich man's wealth is a strong city. Okay, so obviously, somehow wealth is a really good thing. It brings strength to you. It almost sounds like it's kind of a protection, right? But then in 11:4, it turns around and says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but only righteousness delivers from death. So that's kind of interesting. If wealth and riches is a strong city and it's kind of a protection, then why does it say later on that it doesn't matter in the day of wrath?
When I think about this, I'm thinking about, like, what's the eternal benefit of riches? And there is none. You know, it says riches do not profit in the day of wrath. So, you know, for me, if I have a lot of money, which I don't, if I did, it doesn't bring me any reward in the eternal picture. Except for if I think about how I could use that money to bring other people to know Christ and change their eternity. And if that means pulling them out of poverty, then so be it. And it sounds like the poverty of the poor is their ruin. It sounds like that cycle is a dangerous cycle, and just helping someone get out of that could have eternal benefits. But at that last verse, 14:20-21, kind of helps sum it all up with, you know, blessed is he who is generous to the poor. You know, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. I think that kind of sums it all up. Like, the only way your riches bring any value to you right now is how you use them to help others. You know, because for you, they're not doing anything for you. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. I think so. Yeah, that, I guess you do have to draw a distinction between something that's a eternal benefit and something that's a temporal benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So riches don't profit in the day of wrath. It's not an eternal benefit unless, like you said, you use it for helping other people and for loving other people. Yeah. But how does that, I guess I'm still a little confused about how that might relate to the 10:15 verse. So,
because that's describing, like, the power that you have, if you have riches in this world, to pull other people out of this cycle of poverty. You know, like, a rich man's wealth is his strong city in this world. That's the way it works. So use your strong city to stop the cycle of ruin that is poverty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
That's my opinion. And I also think it's interesting we're talking about the contrast here. I think the one thing that you won't find there being a contrast proverb for is the fear of the Lord. You know, it's like, but too much fear of the Lord makes a, you know, you won't see that proverb in here. Like, I think it kind of shows when you have the contrast of, like, this is good, but this is bad, and this is good, but this is bad. And we'll read some more as we go along. Kind of says, nothing can take the place of Jesus. So everything is only so good or so bad. You know what I mean? Like, don't replace Jesus in your mind with wealth or with your words or your standing or your work, you know, which we'll talk about all these things. But I think it's just saying, go all out with Jesus. We're not going to rein you back. But with these other things, it's like they have their goods and they have their bads. Let's talk about it, you know? They're all just different. So why don't you go ahead and...
Yeah, for the sake of time, we'll go on to the next kind of topic or theme in Proverbs, which is the tongue, which is a very... It's all throughout Proverbs, big time. So I'll read four different Proverbs. So 11:12 says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Chapter 12, verse 6 says, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. Chapter 12, verse 18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And then this one I find really interesting because it's another one of those contrasts, and it's like complete opposites. It's chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. So they're right next to each other. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
Just listening to you read all those, I just thought of an app idea.
What's your idea?
So, like an app on your phone that records what you're saying all day. So, like an app on your phone that records what you're saying all day, and it categorizes your statements. So, it's like, this was a negative statement about someone else, or this was a command, or this was a word of encouragement, you know? And it just like inventories your statement so you can get like a daily stat.
So it can like tell you, you were a really crappy person today.
You were talking bad about other people on 10% of your statements today. You were encouraging on 3% of your statements today, and you were being bossy on 50% of your statements today. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Can the app read your tone of voice?
I guess it would have to.
Just asking the hard questions.
I mean,
here.
I think someone needs to create this app or tell me about it if it already exists at Better Half Chats on Twitter. But I really think that would be interesting because I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I might belittle my neighbor quite frequently throughout the day. But like, not like my neighbor's a total loser, but if, you know, this all kind of happened because they didn't do their job really well, so now we're all suffering or whatever. Just want to let you know that this didn't happen, so I took care of it, you know?
I like the idea.
I don't know. I'm just trying to, I wish I had someone listening to me and giving me stats on what I say, because I don't know, when I read, how serious some of these things, like there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I mean, that's your words are pretty powerful. I mean,
Yeah, that's a theme throughout the Bible too. I mean, I think in James, he talks about the tongue kind of being like a wildfire almost. It's a powerful thing, and these definitely bring that out. But I kind of want to talk about the 26, 4, and 5 for a minute. So how is it that these two things can be right next to each other? Since they are completely opposite. They're just saying completely opposite things. Answer not a fool. Answer a fool. I think...
I don't know.
Can I tell you what I think?
Yeah.
So, I'm thinking that what if some of these, here's what I'm trying to do is like not just look at the meaning of the Proverbs, but see what we learn about wisdom. So maybe the fact that these are right next to each other shows us that wisdom evaluates a scenario or a situation and does the right thing based on the scenario or situation. So maybe in some circumstances, it's better to not answer a fool. But in other circumstances, it's better to answer the fool.
Yeah, I wish they had delineated those circumstances in verses 6 and 7. I mean, it just kind of, it's like, answer not, and or you'll be like him.
I guess it kind of does, though. Like, because lest you be like him yourself. Well, if you answer the fool and it appears as if you're going to start, you answering him is going to make you like the fool, then don't answer him. If you
can bring wisdom to him.
If you can bring wisdom to him and wiz. If you can bring wiz to him. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. If you can bring wisdom to him and he realized that he's foolish. You know, so it kind of does.
Yeah, I see that.
And it's also in the wealth and poverty thing. Like, maybe in some circumstances, yes, a rich man's wealth is a strong city, right? Like, if he's using his wealth for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
In some circumstances, riches are ruinous to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does Jesus say? It's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So all of these have to be viewed through this, like, lens of what are the circumstances surrounding it.
Right. Well, let's move on to the next one, which is work ethic. I'll read the verses. Chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. 14:4 says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. 14:23 says, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. 16:3, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Whew, that's a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about this is it's also in the 20 or 30 minutes we have, you can't really get into it.
Right. This too is deep, only a small portion of the verses we pulled out that talk about work ethic. There's a bunch more. I mean, the whole Proverbs 31 talks about it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like also just on a sort of side note, and I don't know, this is not based on anything except just my own thoughts, but I think that a lot of the Proverbs, or I think that the Proverbs are probably the most sarcastic and biting towards, like, laziness and slothful people. Because a lot of them are, we didn't put these in here, but a lot of them say things like, you know, the person who puts his hand, or the lazy person puts his hand into the bowl and is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. And things like, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man turn on his bed. Like, things like that. I feel like this is the most biting towards, like, lazy people.
I mean, I'm so not lazy just by nature that I take all this stuff and, like, go bonkers about it, you know? And, like, I miss the rest part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where this part just sends me into, like, overdrive.
What do you mean by that?
I already just don't stop doing things. And I feel like when I read stuff, like,
you get kind of guilty if you just, like, rest for, like, a minute.
Yeah.
And so you read this and think that that's you.
Yeah, yeah. I read this and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so lazy. You know? And I'm like, watching a show, but, like, while I'm watching a show, I'm, like, sewing on a button or folding laundry or, you know, sewing curtains or, you know, whatever. But anyways.
This is definitely not talking about you. It's talking about me.
There wasn't. Yeah, it is talking about you. But I have a hard time because there wasn't like the. I was wanting the other half. You know, I was wanting like one who doesn't rest is an idiot. You know, like that's what I was wanting to read, but I didn't find it. So where there's no balance here, I feel like, you know, with the laziness thing.
There's really not. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to try to find something in Proverbs about rest. Maybe there is. But I mean, you got the whole like idea. You got the whole idea of the Sabbath in the Bible.
Right.
That, you know, commands rest.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'd be interesting to try to find that in Proverbs. I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, don't be lazy. But let's go to talk about the commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so these are two that I think also might be contrasting. So I put it under work ethic because, you know, 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Okay, so if I do my work to the glory of God, if I'm, you know, purposefully doing my work because I want to glorify God, then my plans are going to be established. But then it turns around and says, oh, but you're going to plan your way, but really God's just going to establish your steps. So, like, yeah, that's another one of those that I'm like, how does that fit together?
I don't know. I think I'm able to merge these a little better in my mind. And I think it's because, you know, you're in more of a job searching arena and I'm not. So I can look at it from like, from, I don't know, bird's eye view, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like in the midst of it and you're like, just freaking establish my steps already, you know?
Sure.
But I think it's like your heart, you know, heart of man plans his way. You know, is your heart on the Lord, you know, and your heart can want many different things and still be on the Lord. You know what I mean? Like you can have a passion for this, that, or the other type of work, but still be focused on the Lord. And I think you can, if you mush those two together, commit your work to the Lord and the heart of man plans his way. To me, that could be the same exact thing if your heart is committed to the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense, and that's kind of what I was thinking about it. Yeah, that seems to be the answer a lot of times in Christianity. Well, so let's talk about chapter 20, and maybe just as a way of summing up and, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, what did we learn. This is just kind of about general aspects of wisdom. So I'll read just the two verses that we drew out. So 25, or chapter 20, verse 5 says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. In chapter 20, verse 24 says, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? So from these two, I don't know. What do we glean about wisdom?
I think it's bringing me back to what I thought about wisdom before we started all this.
What's that?
It's like, I'm never going to get it. So, like, what's the point? I'm very practical. And if I don't think there's going to be a profitable end for me with something, I just don't do it. So, I don't know. Wisdom looks out of reach from here. Convince me otherwise, Andrew.
I mean, here's what I think. I think that in verse 5, it says the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, right? So what a person intends to do or the reasons behind why somebody does something in their heart are is kind of murky to us, right? We can't see down to it because it's like deep water. It's shrouded in, you know, feet upon feet of water. And so it's we can't see it. Kind of like in deep water at the beach when you try to see the bottom, like you can't really see it. So, and then it says a man of understanding will draw it out. And understanding being, to me, kind of a another name for just wisdom. So maybe the purpose of wisdom is to understand people really well, so that maybe we can help other people, we can reveal more. God can reveal himself through us more. If we understand other people really well, then we can do that. You see what I'm saying?
So are you saying that the man is another man other than yourself? I just thought this is like yourself.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't really think of it that way, but yeah, it could be that too.
Like to draw out your own purpose. But you're thinking about like helping someone else.
Yeah, but I mean, I like what you said too. I mean, it's probably both. Yeah, I mean, it's probably both.
And then it brings us to a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? It's like a man of understanding can figure this out, but how can man understand? That's what I hear when I see it, when I read this.
Well, so maybe once again, it's in different circumstances, these seemingly opposite things can be true. Whereas, I mean, they sound like they're really opposite. But what is it that we said in the very first podcast on wisdom? That wisdom is doing the right thing at the right time in the right way, right? So right. If wisdom is that, then this makes complete sense. Because, you know, at one time, you know, it may be possible to be a man of understanding and draw out the purpose in a man's heart. But it's also true that that really the Lord is the only one that knows everything. And a man can never understand fully everything. Right? So it's not even quite like paradoxical. They're not mutually exclusive. It's just talking about maybe different circumstances or a different time or a different situation that dictates, you know, is it possible to understand this and what things are only for God to understand?
Yeah, I think what brings me peace is just to go back to what I was saying at the beginning, that was like, don't put anything on the pedestal that Christ should be put on. So don't put your understanding or your wisdom on that pedestal, because there's going to be some things that you don't understand. Only God knows. You know, I think it just kind of, like, these are all great things, but don't take it too far.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, yeah. That's very true.
Chats. Don't forget to contact us at betterhalfchats@gmail.com or on Twitter @betterhalfchats to send us any questions or comments or to design an app for us. Have a chatty day.